Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Manscaped. You know that feeling when you drive down a nice neighborhood and you see that one beautiful lawn perfectly trimmed? What must it feel like to come home to that lawn, knowing the work you've put into it and the pride that comes with that? Well, the same can apply to your body. Keeping yourself properly trimmed and smelling great not only gives you the confidence to step up when you need to, it might surprise and delight your partner. So use Manscaped. Manscaped is the official sponsor of our podcast, and it's number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. The Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology so you won't nick or snag your nuts. That's fun to say. And don't use the same trimmer on your nuts that you use on your face because, let's be honest, that's kind of gross. So right now, you get 20% off with free shipping by using the code ARMCHAIR at manscaped.com. That's ARMCHAIR. Always use the right tools for your family jewels. Your balls will thank you. You are listening to The Bird Calls on the ARMCHAIR All-American Network. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today. All right, what's up, Pels fans? Welcome to another episode of the Bird Calls podcast. I'm your host and contributor to thebirdrights.com, Preston Ellis. And today, and I've got his name right this time, we are talking to Sean Devaney of Heavy.com and Forbes Sports. Happy holidays, sir.
Oh, same to you, Preston. Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. It's a blast. We really enjoyed talking to you. I think it was back in June. It's been a while. It's hard to believe it's been 6 months. You guys can follow him at Sean Devaney and find his work at Heavy.com and Forbes Sports, as I just said. Congrats on the new gig, by the way. How you like it so far?
Well, so far, so good. I mean, you know, Forbes is sort of obviously an established brand, so I'm able to do, you know, sort of long form writing for them. That's what I mostly do there. And then Heavy is an organization that's trying to beef up its sports presence. So happy to be with them and to see where that takes us.
Very cool. Well, congrats, man. Really happy for you. Let's go ahead and talk Pelicans. That's what we brought you in here for. A lot has changed. Well, we'll talk about holidays first, just because I wanted to put that in here. A lot has changed now with 5 nationally televised games on Christmas Day. Tell me, Sean, what is your typical Christmas day? Do you watch all 5 of these games?
I usually do. You know, I've got a 2-year-old daughter now, so I'll probably have to take a bigger break than I have in the past. You know, usually I wind up going to one of the games too. If the Celtics are playing, or if one of the New York teams is playing. This is a rare occasion when one of the New York teams is not playing on Christmas Day. I think that speaks to the state of those New York teams most likely, but usually I'll go to one of those and then watch the rest of them. Boston will be in Toronto and like I say, neither of the New York teams is playing. So, Christmas Day is going to be a little easier for me, but again, I've got a 2-year-old running around now, so that's going to present its own challenges.
Pretty cool, man. My wife is about 7 months pregnant now, so we're expecting March 9th. So I'm sure my Christmas season next year will be quite different, as I'm sure yours has become. Now let's go ahead and let's talk the Pelicans, as I prefaced earlier. This summer when we spoke, we were both pretty much all in on the progress of the organization and what they were doing. And there still is a lot to be excited about. But based on their early season record, they're 7-23 as it stands right now. They just beat the Minnesota Timberwolves last night after a 13-game franchise record losing streak. What are your new takeaways 30 games into the season post-Anthony Davis trade?
Well, you know, I think there have obviously been some disappointments. You know, some of the areas where you thought that there would be improvement or individual improvement from players, I think that hasn't happened. And I think that's probably the, for me, that's the biggest disappointment. You know, Josh Hart, for instance, I think he sort of is what he is, you know, at 24 years old, you know, a good bench guy, versatile. But didn't take any real steps forward. You know, Lonzo Ball, it really concerns me, you know, whether he's ever going to be a guy who you can have as an NBA starter. You know, the difference between what he was projected and where he has actually been is pretty rough right now. And, you know, you could certainly throw him into the fire as a starter. But I think what we've seen is he's not there yet. And I don't know if he'll ever fix that shot. And if he doesn't, then that's going to be a real negative there. That's always going to hold him back. So, yeah, you know, I mean, you just go right down the list, and there hasn't been sort of the development. I think Brandon Ingram has been very good, and he would be the exception to that rule. But across the board, there's been so much disappointment, and then of course, what's going on with Zion? You know, this isn't normal. He should not be out this long for the procedure he had. So obviously, there's something else going on there.
All right, I'm going to get to that in just a second. Thank you for that tidbit. Definitely want to explore that further. I just want to harp a little bit more on Lonzo. Obviously, that's why we have you here. And Lonzo, like you said, has been disappointing. He's kind of relegated himself to like a Steph Curry type spot up shooter. We wanted him to be that Rajon Rondo type facilitator, but he hasn't really been driving to the paint, hasn't been initiating any contact. He's been comfortable to just let Brandon Ingram and Jrue Holiday dictate the offense for the most part. I wrote about that today on thebirdwrites.com. Tell me, Sean, based on what you saw of him at the Lakers, are the Pelicans utilizing him correctly? Where are they going wrong with him?
Yeah, it's hard to say how much of it is what he's doing and how much of it is the system and what they're asking of him. I think that they would, and we've seen Rondo in that role for them, so we know that they would welcome that sort of production within their offense from a guy like him. But the problem is that to me, like you say, he has not been aggressive. He's not been the kind of drive and kick player that you'd like to see. And I think that to an extent is on him. He seems very reluctant to drive. And as long as that's the case, that's going to be a problem for them. You can look at the numbers. I've got his numbers here. You know, in his rookie year, he took 27% of his shots within 3 feet of the basket. Last year, he took 30% of his shots within 3 feet of the basket. This year, it's been 18%. So that's a pretty clear sign that this guy is not driving to the hoop. And if that's not happening, that really not only does that affect his shooting because teams can get up on him a little bit more. They know he's not going to drive, but it affects that drive and kick, and that's so important to what his game is taking advantage of that floor vision. If he's not going to the rim, he can't do that.
All right, let's go ahead and transition about the big topic right now. That's Zion Williamson, of course. Sean, we had multiple conflicting reports. We had Kristen Ludlow on TNT, Mark Stein, both reporting that he was going to fall outside of that 6 to 8 week spectrum. And David Griffin kind of refuted those comments. He was saying that he was still on schedule. I think it was December 4th were those comments. But he did say that they had no expectation as to what his timetable would be, mentioned meeting certain metrics. Now, Griff was back on Fox Sports Nola. He says he's still a ways away. Now we've just seen footage of him just beginning to practice jump shots and doing light walkthroughs and that sort of thing. Take us through this process. Obviously, you've got multiple different reporters here. They're breaking news that kind of conflicts with what David Griffin is saying. And now it's been, I guess, accepted. You know you're going to get a lot of kickback when you deliver a report like this, not just from your readers, but also in some cases from executives or other members of the media. I've begun to experience it a bit myself. What is the process of breaking news like this? And what motivates you to be the person to do it?
Well, I mean, you've got to have somebody who knows, who's willing to talk to you, and someone that you trust. You know, that's the thing. And for someone like Kristen Ledlow or Mark Stein, you know, they've got somebody obviously that they trusted, and with good reason, because they were right. And, you know, Griff is always going to be very protective. He's always been that way. And that's part of his job. He should do that. You know, as far as stretching the truth, though, you know, you've got to, he's going to ruin his own credibility if he keeps saying, well, that's not true. And then it turns out to be true. So there is that certainly to be concerned about. But you know, it's part of his job to defend his players, to defend the people in his organization. But obviously, you know, if you've got somebody, it's probably not, you know, trainers never talk. So it's not somebody on the training staff, you know, assistant coach, most likely a scout who's attuned to what's going on there. You know, somebody like that who can see and knows what's going on and knows what the expectations. That's the kind of person that you can talk to and might give you what the truth is, and then if you can, especially if you can confirm it, then that's something that you go with. And I'm sure both Kristen and Mark would have done that.
Gambling, it's not the most prevalent of topics at the family barbecue, but the truth is it can be quite fun. Picking a couple of friends to play some friendly wagers before a game can immediately raise the stakes and make your Sundays even more exhilarating. That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Football fans, you can even bet after kickoff, so if it looks like your bet is fading, just take the other side. If you like to bet a lot, try a parlay. You can multiply your winnings and brag to your friends as the money rolls in. But now is the best time to join, because MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Now, let's continue what you were saying a little bit earlier, falling outside of the spectrum of that 6 to 8 recommended rehabilitation timetable. We're now close to a week beyond that, and it doesn't look like he's very close to rejoining his teammates on the floor. Looking like the middle of January probably is a spot-on assessment. Sean, what's taking so long?
It's a great question. I've over the years, you know, as you do this job, when someone gets hurt, all of a sudden, all these orthopedic surgeons have PR people. And so they start emailing you and they say, hey, do you want to talk to this surgeon about this injury? And I usually, I don't want to get too far into that. But, you know, this was one, and I'm always interested in knee stuff, because it is so widespread, not only in basketball, but in all sports. So I've talked a lot to surgeons about tearing a meniscus and what happens in that process. And what happened with Zion is he had a piece of his meniscus removed, and then it gets healed back up. And basically, from what I understand, that process just involves opening up, getting inside the knee, taking out the little piece, clipping it off, basically, to the piece that's been torn, and then stitching it back up. And there isn't any real healing. You know, you're not waiting for anything to heal. It's not like if you've repaired an ACL and you've got to let all that ligament regrow and regenerate and all that, because all you've done is clip something out. You haven't actually taken anything, and you're not waiting for it to heal. The only thing that has to heal is the skin. And that's why it's such a quick turnaround for a knee surgery to be able to be back in 6 to 8 weeks. So it should be something that 2 months should be more than enough time to come back from this kind of injury. And people I spoke to said, well, you know, he might actually be on the early side because he's young and he'd already been active at that point. So yeah, it's very much a surprise. I think any surgeon would say that for him to have taken this long to come back is it's definitely on the edge of where you would say this is too long, something else is going on.
Definitely. Let's go ahead and talk about JJ Redick. You wrote about him on heavy.com. I encourage everybody to check that out. Some of his early impressions of guys that might be available or might be of interest. The Pelicans, according to reports from both you and Stein, are not interested in dealing him. Given his value around the league and what he can do for a contender combined with his 13-year consecutive postseason history, are you surprised that both he and the Pelicans are so resistant to even considering a move?
No, I'm really not. And when they brought JJ in there, the reason they brought him in was not just to stretch the floor and to be the kind of shooter that he can be and all those sorts of things, but it was also because they needed to start establishing some culture. They needed to, you know, take what had happened over the past year and erase it. And he's the kind of guy who you want in your locker room to do that. And so I'm not that surprised that they're not keen on moving JJ along, that they see him as a transition between a young team and one that can start learning some things about winning. And that's something that JJ Redick has done, obviously, recently in his career with his playoff streak. And they want to be able to transfer that as much as they can to the young guys and have that presence in the locker room. They didn't bring him in just to trade him, and they'll perhaps over the summer they'll look at where they are and there'll be some interest, and that'll be something that they'll reconsider there if the right deal pops up. But I don't think in the middle of the season that's something that they want to do. I think they still see him as a valuable culture piece in terms of what they're trying to build.
This is Sean Devaney. You can read his sports, read his words at heavy.com and Forbes Sports. Let's get to Drew Holiday. Obviously, this is another case of he said, she said. Mark Stein reporting that the Pelicans are listening to offers, though they're not intent on moving him. When asked by Jennifer Hale, David Griffin said clearly not, in reference to are the Pelicans trying to trade him. Tell us, are you hearing anything about Drew Holiday?
I have heard that it's much the same situation as JJ Redick, and that is, you know, he's a guy who's been in New Orleans for a while. The franchise loves him. You know, the front office, coaching staff. You know, he's obviously he went through a lot with his wife a couple of years ago. The franchise is very supportive of him. He's always appreciated that. He's not one who's going to go and start demanding trades or anything. So there's a good relationship there. So I don't think he's somebody that they're going to go out there and look to trade. However, you know, if the right deal came along, they'd be crazy not to listen. Of course you have to listen, but I don't, you know, they're not going to try to package things together just to get rid of them. They're not going to try to put together something just to get a first round pick for them. That's not going to happen. They have to listen. But again, I think it goes back to the same thing that I said about JJ, and that is, they're still interested in making sure they've got the culture there. They've got a lot of draft picks, so they would have to get a very high draft pick, probably another young player in return for Drew Holiday, and then somebody who can provide some salary relief. You'd probably need all three aspects to be in place, and I'm not sure anybody's in position to give up that kind of thing. So, there'll be plenty of teams who call. There'll be plenty of teams that are interested, but I don't think anybody's going to come up with the kind of package it would take to get Drew Holiday. Preston, I think you got to look at next summer as maybe they rethink that, but I think here at the deadline, I don't see them doing that.
All right, great stuff. Obviously, we've got a similar situation with Derek Favors and Etuan Moore being expiring, so those guys could generate a little bit of interest, though. Like the other players that we mentioned, Redick and Holiday, I'd assume the Pelicans would probably be resistant to move them, and like you said, would probably entertain those type of notions in the summer about whether or not they re-sign them or let them walk. But thank you so much for your time. 7-23, Sean, the Pelicans are still just six games out of the playoffs right now. Do you think if they get Zion back in a month or so that there's any chance that they've got the 25th remaining strength of schedule, so they do have an easier second half to the season? Do you give the Pelicans any chance?
You know, they certainly have had the lack of benefit in terms of the way the schedule has been set up, and it's really hard to come back from the kind of hole that they're in right now with so many teams ahead of them. But I don't think Memphis is going to get better. I think there's a real chance San Antonio makes some trades that make them worse. We'll see what happens with Portland. We'll see what happens with Oklahoma City because they're a team that's in playoff position now, but they may be looking to get into their rebuild and if that means unloading some players, then that they might do that. So you can go right down the list and you can probably find four or five teams that are going to have a poor second half. You know, that's just how this is going to develop. So there's a chance that the Pelicans could rebound, but being 15 games under 500 at this point, very, very slim chance, obviously. I think they could rebound and have a much better go of it from here, starting with last night's game. But it's really hard to see them making a push all the way to playoffs.
Great stuff. Thank you all for listening. Remember, you can follow Sean at Sean Devaney and follow his work at Heavy.com and Forbes Sports. Like I mentioned, he's got some interesting trade candidates on Heavy.com. You should also take some time to peruse. You can also check out my Christmas wish list on TheBirdWrites.com today. Sean, thank you so much. Again, congrats. Anything else that I missed that you'd like our listeners to take a look at?
No, that sounds good. Just have happy holidays this week and enjoy the basketball.
All right. Thanks for listening. Let's go, pals. Thank you for listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.